Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista. You should definitely check out Instagram and our Facebook so you can see what Brandon's talking about. It's also probably going to be your nerd thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be my nerd thing.
Okay, so we'll get to that then.
But this week, we're going to go back to our decades episode.
Yeah.
We're gonna go to the lame half of the 90s.
That's not what it's called.
Oh.
Just the second half of the 90s.
The second half of the 90s, which is not as good as the first half.
The second half of the 90s.
Which is not as good as the first half. Okay, yes. 95 to 99.
Yep.
We're going to party like it's 1999. No, that didn't start until the 2000s.
Until later.
Okay, but we talked about the nerd thing.
We did? Well, sort of.
How about you go for your nerd thing?
Okay, so my nerd thing is kind of related to yours because we got a package in the mail yesterday from a friend who lives really close to Disneyland.
He's a magic key holder.
He is a magic key holder. And we knew you were getting something, but I didn't know I was going to get something. You guys conspired and surprised
me.
Yes,
we conspired. But yeah, we're lucky enough to have a merch goblin, as I like to call him. And we got some special park merchandise.
Yes.
That we don't have access to because we can't go to the parks.
And also the Disney store. Well, this is park-specific merchandise, but we can't even do the Disney store anymore because those are closed and shipping to Canada is very prohibitive.
So what did you get?
So I got the most awesome pair of ears. They are Her Universe, the Haunted Mansion, Madame Leota ears. And they're just so awesome. And on the back is this foolish mortal.
they're perfect for you.
And they're super
punky. Purple is your favorite color.
Oh, I love them.
And it's got the wallpaper.
The wallpaper,
design,
which is my favorite pattern. And with the safety pins, it's very like punky kind of. I really like this line, and I was so excited when I saw these ears. And I think I squealed when we opened the package.
It's amazing how well the Haunted Mansion goes with the punk style.
It's true. It fits really well. Leota would totally be into punk.
Even you look at like the actual punk bands, like the Misfits and stuff, it looks like a Haunted
Mansion
style.
Would totally fit
style,
in the Haunted Mansion.
So it works.
It definitely works. And then we also got, before you get to your fancy one here, we also got the R6, the droid, R6 Witch.
The R6 Witch, yes.
Who is absolutely adorable.
Who's staying in the package.
Yeah, Brandon won't let me open him up because
no.
He's good. But he's
keep
so
these things in the package.
Cute.
Yeah.
Okay, and,
really
and your nerd thing.
And I have the Iron Man Infinity Gauntlet Sipper, which actually goes along with what I'm drinking because what I'm drinking is in the sipper.
Oh, perfect. Nice segue. That was a nice open there, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are you drinking?
Well, it's from the local brewery, a brand new beer called Rip and Run. And it's a West Coast Pale Ale.
And it's really tasty.
Well, because we did try it.
We tried it the other night.
Mm-hmm.
How's your sipper working?
Very well. I mean, it's not the most comfortable thing in the world.
But you don't care.
But it's really fun.
It's really cool.
And it's beautiful.
And I was watching it light up and it's so cool. It's officially your first Disneyland sipper, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's weird because some of the sippers like have like a drinking container inside them. This one it just has like a holder.
Yeah, it's like a really crazy drink holder, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. I am drinking from Yukon Brewing Lemon Lavender Radler. Finishing up all the summery drinks out of the fridge because it is not summery out there anymore.
It is not. It is solidly September now.
Yep.
So
yeah, it feels like fall time. And I'm sitting here wearing my Haunted Mansion ears, and I guess it's Halloween now.
It was fall time, so I started wearing my new plaid up.
Yes.
Themed shirt.
Yeah,
from
we went apple picking the other day, and your apple. And while we were doing that, you were appropriately plaided out.
Adventure is out there.
Adventure is out there. That's a really cool shirt, by the way.
It is. Yeah.
What did you think of the last What If episode?
It was good. I mean, I like all the What If episodes so far. This one was interesting. It was dark, but it wasn't as
Yeah, there are some
dark.
That are really dark.
I mean, it was pretty dark.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it was not going to end well, really.
Have any of them?
No,
they haven't. Not a one.
I guess not, no. I guess not. The Guardians one was mostly happy, but then you realize that the whole universe is screwed, so.
Yeah, exactly. There's not a happy ending one. So, but yeah, this one was interesting, I thought. Mm-hmm. I thought it was an interesting way to look at it.
But yeah, no, I love What If.
It's so good.
I'm going to be sad when it's over.
Which is soon, actually.
Yeah, there's only 3 more left?
Something like that. Oh, it's going to be sad. I just wanted to read a review. This is a past review. It's an older one, but came across it again and thought it'd be kind of cool to share it on here because I'm, of course, back at school. It's September, full right into the school spirit. And it is, I did give Disney an A. So I like that. It said, I finally watched Hamilton and really enjoyed it after listening to their podcast insights. Entertaining and delightful pair. We're entertaining and delightful, Brandon. That's good to know. But this one I also like because we just watched Hamilton again.
Weird. We never do that.
No. I think we watched it like 3 times in 3 weeks lately. All right. I think that brings us to the news. Disney A News Update. So a few news items for you.
Yeah?
Yeah. So first of all, let's talk TV show and specifically Disney Plus. We have a new Hawkeye trailer.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're getting close to the end, like we just said, close to the end of What If, but more Marvel content is always on the way these days.
Of course.
And, yeah, we got our first look at Hawkeye, which is very diehard.
So diehard.
I thought Falcon and the Winter Soldier was Lethal Weapon, but this one, like, leans into the Christmassy part of Lethal Weapon.
Yes, because it comes out, yeah.
But I think of, like, when I think of action Christmas movie, I think Die Hard.
Definitely.
Every day of the week. And this gave me huge Die Hard vibes.
Absolutely,
so.
Absolutely. We're same kind of tone, but it's just very, very Die Hard, the Archer. It's basically it.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this now.
I was kind of like, I mean, I wasn't going to be disappointed by it or anything, but I was kind of about it, but this made it look just so fun, and I'm really excited.
And there's some rumors about it that maybe Wilson Fisk, a.k.a. Kingpin, is going to be back.
That sounds really cool. I'm fingers crossed because he was awesome.
Same actor as the Netflix show reprising his role.
And if that is true,
Vincent,
then that's going to be...
Vincent DeFazio or however you pronounce that. I don't know.
But if that's true, then we have our first big intersection between the Netflix shows that we're pretending don't exist.
Yeah, those have been basically non-canon up until now, so...
Who knows?
Who knows? It might be a soft reboot. We don't know, but that would be very exciting,
yes.
I think.
Yeah, he's awesome. So I'm really excited to see that.
Daredevil show knocked it out of the park. Most of those Netflix shows knocked it out of the park, actually.
Except.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know. Iron Fist wasn't even that bad, okay?
Wasn't that good either.
Season 2 was better.
Wasn't that good either.
It was not, like, gripping television.
You
but
can't
was,
watch Daredevil and then watch Jessica Jones and then watch Iron Fist and think those all belong in the same category.
And Luke Cage.
Well, Luke Cage was actually really
good,
too.
Luke Cage was really good. Mm-hmm. First season was better.
Yes, yes, yes.
But
the first season of Luke Cage was quite good. And then Iron Fist, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's fine. I didn't hate it, I'll say that. But, like... It was not the same level.
No, it was definitely the weak link.
So it'll be interesting to see if they do make that intersection.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah, fingers crossed.
I would like to see Punisher and
Luke
Cage
so cool.
And Jessica Jones. Yeah, all of them.
And Disney Plus, they have room to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
They can play.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then moving into Disney news... Disneyland news is we've noticed the Jessica Rabbit scene from Roger Rabbit's cartoon Spin was removed, and then news came out about them actually revamping the whole storyline.
Yeah,
this attraction.
The idea is to give Jessica Rabbit more of a starring role in the ride rather than like the damsel in distress trope.
Yeah.
She's going to have started her own private investigator service because, of course, the guy in the original film isn't doing it anymore.
Right.
So, yeah, she's taken over that and that's going to be the idea behind the ride now, I guess. So there's a couple scenes that are going to change. That's what I read. I mean, it was on the internet, so.
You're right.
Grain of salt, but that.
Interesting.
It sounded legit to me, so.
Yeah, I know.
Because they have taken her out of the one scene
for
already.
For sure. They took her out of when she's in the back of the car, the trunk of the car. And then they kind of changed one where she was tied up to now she's, like, loosened her bonds and she's standing there holding, like, a mallet or something like that.
Right.
And so giving her more of a, less of a damsel in distress kind of thing. And, yeah. So, interesting.
She should have a patty cake scene. That's what I think.
Agreed.
Disney Plus and chill.
So, as per always with these lovely decades thing, I'm going to run through a whole bunch of information.
Yep.
then we're going to rank.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So first of all, Disney Company in general in the second half of the 90s. So the 90s overall was nicknamed the Disney Decade, which is interesting because you think that the Disney Decade actually ended in 1994.
Basically, but they were like resting on their laurels for the last half, right?
What is interesting, because in 89, when they did Little Mermaid and they went into the Renaissance, they were kind of like trying to, they were in a period of trying to make things as cheap as possible, but it ended up being really good. Anyway, so here's some other notables. They took control of the Anaheim Angels in 96.
Angels in the Outfield.
Exactly. Launched the cruise line.
Yeah.
Started Disney Online, the Disney Institute, and Radio Disney. Both Blizzard Beach and Animal Kingdom opened. It announced Hong Kong Disneyland. I think that was like in 97 or 98 that it was announced. So, of course, it came after that.
Yeah.
Redesigned Tomorrowland and Disneyland. You should probably do that again. And launched ESPN Magazine.
Yeah. You don't have Disney Quest on this list. That had to have been in the 90s.
That's true. It wasn't on my list.
Yeah.
It must have been in the 90s.
Disney Quest was really cool. I got to go there when I was in Florida. That was not in the 90s, but it was shortly after.
Right. It must have been in the 90s, like late 90s then when it launched.
Yeah, it was pretty new when I went in like early 2000-ish. Mm-hmm. Disney Quest was really cool, but it's just like Tomorrowland. It's tough to keep on top of technology like that.
Right.
So, yeah. So yeah, you just looked it up?
Yep.
98. So Disney Quest. They were trying to make it like another mini theme park, but like arcade style. They had different attractions inside there and different lands and everything. It was like
That's really cool.
It was a whole thing. It was really fun. I really liked it, but
limited time on those kinds of things, unfortunately.
Well, they had VR and like 3D.
That's really cool.
3D
though.
Graphics and stuff that like. That doesn't age well,
right?
So,
but it was been really cool in like 98, 99.
The best part was the design your own roller coaster with a full simulator.
You've talked to me about this. Go ahead.
It was amazing.
So how, like, explain this to me?
Well, you got to, like, you had a touch screen and you could like plunk in your different pieces of a roller coaster, kind of like Roller Coaster Tycoon,
right?
That you like to play.
Yep. But
you build it out and it makes it all fit. And then you finalize it, and you jump in the simulator, and you ride it.
That's so cool.
It was really cool.
That's very cool. Yeah, so, sorry, that wasn't on my list. Thank you for including it. Okay, so TV success continues. Last time we ran through the big list, so I'm not going to do that again. But, you know, DuckTales.
Ooh-ooh.
Good job. It was on cue and everything.
I always hit my cue.
I did want to mention a couple of things in the 90s, though, that I didn't mention because they weren't cartoons. Did you ever watch Kids Incorporated?
Mm-mm.
So, Lindsay, who listens to us,
never even heard
messaged
of that.
Us saying, I used to watch this all the time. I used to watch that all the time.
Kids Incorporated
was always on either right before or right after the new Mickey Mouse Club that like Justin Timberlake and all of them were on. And I used to watch those all the time when I stayed at my grandma's house.
I can't say as that's ringing any bells for me. I'm sorry. No.
No, all good. I'll play you a little clip of it. It was very like after school special.
Right.
Yeah. With like a little bit of a variety show thrown in.
I aged out of those early. I didn't have patience for that. I don't know.
Okay, so I'm going to run through a huge list of live action ones. Now, these ones were Disney specific ones. The thing is, once we get to the 90s, Disney started owning a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So technically, under the Disney company, things like Armageddon and While You Were Sleeping were released.
Armageddon?
Yeah.
I don't want to close my eyes. Okay, that's it. That's all you're gonna do?
That's all you're gonna do? Okay, good job. So just looking at the Disney company, here are some live action ones. We had Heavyweights, Tall Tale.
Tall Tale.
Did you watch Tall Tale?
I loved Tall Tale.
We should watch Tall Tale.
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
And I probably haven't seen it since then. A Kid in King Arthur's Court, The Big Green, which you have strong feelings about.
I do, yeah.
Frank and Ollie, Tom and Huck, which I have strong feelings about, but probably for a completely different reason.
I actually kind of like Tom and Huck.
So did I. Oh. Jonathan Taylor Thomas was in it.
Oh. See, your strong feelings are in a different direction than my strong feelings. Okay.
Homeward Bound 2, Lost in San Francisco. First Kid, D3, The Mighty Ducks.
Quack.
Quack. 101 Dalmatians, so beginning the live action remakes. We talked about this during our live action.
We did. So. Go Glenn Close. It's a terrible movie.
But go Glenn Close.
Yeah. She kicked butt. Everything else was terrible.
Yeah. That Darn Cat. So a remake from the 60s one. Mm-hmm. Jungle to Jungle. George of the Jungle. I watched this one a lot as a kid.
Watch out for that tree.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Good job. Mm-hmm. Air Bud.
Doesn't say anywhere in the rules that a dog can't play basketball.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
I was actually going to write that in the comments. And I'm like, no, it's okay, Brandon. I'll know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Rocket Man.
This one's highly underrated.
I've never seen it. I don't think.
There's rumors of a reboot or something in Disney Plus TV series, something on this. I don't know if it's a reboot or like a sequel series or something. Yeah.
I need to watch this,
yeah.
I think.
I really liked it at the time. I don't know how it's aged, but
well, we could watch it. We have the power. So going along with from That Darn Cat, we are continuing the 50s and 60s remakes.
Yeah.
With Flubber.
Robin Williams.
I know. And Mr. Magoo.
Nah, it's not so good.
No, but Flubber was fun. I liked Flubber.
I used to watch the actual Mr. Magoo cartoon.
Really?
Back in the day.
Yeah. I don't think I watched it.
It's pretty funny. Like, I mean it. It's weird and old, but it's really quite funny. Yeah.
I think I've only watched it a couple times, but Meet the Deedles, which I've never even heard of. Parent Trap.
Lindsay Lohan Parent Trap.
Which I'm like on because I love the original with Hayley Mills.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I'll Be Home for Christmas, which I also love because Jonathan Taylor Thomas. But it's a super cheesy Christmas movie that is just like fun and silly and... You saw me watching it last Christmas, and you were
it was terrible.
No, it was fantastic and wonderful. You're wrong. Mighty Joe Young.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That was good.
Basically a King Kong ripoff.
Yeah, My Favorite Martian. Inspector Gadget.
Oh, no. I love Inspector Gadget, the cartoon. The live-action movie was...
Oh, I didn't think it was terrible. Although I haven't seen since it came out, but I didn't think it was terrible. And The Straight Story, which I actually had to look up.
I've never
heard of it either. Okay, so I also have some special mentions here that are in their own category.
Is it an awesome category?
Yes, it is. It's a really awesome category. So we have some computer animated things. And
like Pixar, basically. Like,
and then we have the advent of Pixar, basically. Yeah. Okay. So first of all, we talked about our Pixar favorites and everything like that just last week. So we don't need to spend a whole bunch of time on it. But in 95, we have Toy Story come out. And then in 98, we have A Bug's Life come out.
But basically, this is my argument for Disney having a weak back half of the 90s. Because Pixar was kicking butt so much that it's Disney had to buy them. Because
they were so busy doing that.
Because Disney was not as good as Pixar was.
Well, so we have, and then we have Toy Story 2 came out in 99.
Yeah, we have two Toy Stories.
And Bug's Life.
Yeah. And Disney has some movies that we're going to talk about.
Yeah. But we also have Doug's first movie, which is a feature length one and everything like that. It's put up by the...
Doug the cartoon.
Yeah, full length.
But was that on Disney Channel or what?
It's considered a feature-length film. I think it was, like, a limited theatrical release, technically. So I'm not putting it in the same category as Disney Animation Studios because it was actually released under the cartoon, like, their network affiliate. Yeah. And then I also wanted to mention James and the Giant Peach, which is its own special stop-motion thing. That was in 96, which is the same year that Muppet Treasure Island came out. Which I know is a live action, but I'm giving it a special mention because it's the Muppets and I love them.
It's the Muppets and it's Tim Curry.
Exactly. Tim Curry can do no wrong. I loved this when it came out. Rewatching it. I loved it less, but to me, it was the start of they're not so great. But it has some great moments and it has Tim Curry, so whatever.
Yeah. It's rough in patches, but Tim Curry's pretty good, so.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, so we have some awesome movies there, and if you want to hear us talk about James and the Giant Peach some more, check out last year's Halloween episode. This is Halloween, because we talk about it a fair bit, and yeah, It was kind of disturbing.
It is definitely disturbing.
Well,
yes.
That's based on a Roald Dahl book, so you know.
Yes, he was a disturbing fella.
Yeah, he was.
everything, like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, it's just messed up.
We read a short story by him. I read it to my students every year, and I always say the same thing. Like, I explain the other things he wrote, and they're all like, oh, like a kid's story. And then we read it, and it's like this horrible murder, and it always throws them. And one kid's like, so I prompted it the same way. And I was like, you know, who writes those kids' books? And the one kid's like, Mac, have you ever read those? Those are really messed up.
Okay. Kids' books used to be always messed up. Like, look at the Grimm's Fairy Tales.
No, well, that's way before then.
Yeah,
but
no,
yes.
I know that, but, like, kids like kind of that twisted stuff.
It's true.
Or most kids do. I always liked that stuff, so I was big on Roald Dahl when I was a kid.
Yeah,
so.
I like Roald Dahl, though. I mean, he's basically the Tim Burton of children's novels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have several animated movies. I'm going to run through these chronologically, and then we're going to rank them.
Okay.
And we're
going to
discuss as we go.
There's what,
there
six?
There are six.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. So, in 95, we have two movies released.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Goofy movie. Again, we said this. It was on my list of underrated. It was on my list of summer movies. Way better than it has any right to be.
Yeah.
I would have put this in the same category as Doug's first movie. It is not in the same category as Doug's first movie.
It should have been.
Yeah.
Like whoever was working on this movie was like, no, I'm going to make a good movie. I don't even care that this is supposed to be like direct-to-video style.
Oh, but it definitely not. And it did suffer, though, from people thinking it was going to be like that.
Like, it wasn't super successful or anything like that. But
so good. So good.
It's actually really good.
Pocahontas came out the same year, which
we have different opinions.
We
about
do,
this movie,
we do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It actually is. It used to be my favorite Disney movie when I was growing up. I would say it's probably my second favorite now. But yeah, I absolutely love Pocahontas. So that was both. Those were both 95. The next year in 96, Hunchback of Notre Dame came out. We literally just watched this last night.
We did, yeah.
You had never seen it before.
I had never seen it all the way through, and I was. I remember when this movie was going to come out, and I was a big fan of the whole Hunchback story. This came out in 96. I dressed up as the Hunchback in the Halloween of 95.
Wow.
Never ended up watching the movie, because I heard it was not the best. I was not wrong.
Oh, I really liked it. I used to love this one.
The animation is good in parts. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about this more.
Okay. Hercules came out in 97, which we also just watched, because that's the other one you hadn't seen.
I had not seen that one all the way through.
Yeah.
No.
Very different style than, say, Hunchback or Pocahontas. Or
Hercules is definitely up my alley.
Yeah, I figured you'd like it.
Very postmodern, pulling in a lot of different sources. Like, the gospel music
is
really cool, but mixing that with Greek mythology, and there are lots of references and lots of voice actors chewing on scenery.
Yeah.
It's really good.
By lots of voice actors, you mean James Woods.
Yeah, mostly James Woods, yes. No, Hercules, I should have watched that a lot sooner.
Yep.
I quite enjoyed it.
Yep. That doesn't surprise me.
It's a little uneven.
A little bit, yeah. I still really like it. I think I like it more as I've gotten older, actually.
Yeah, well, you pick up more of the references, of course.
Well, I mean, you got all the references about, like, the 90s. You know, they talk about, you know, the
oh, there's lots of 90s references, let me tell you.
You know, Air Jordans kind of thing.
Siskel and Ebert.
Like, yeah, exactly, exactly. But you get to see more than that, and you see which ones have stood, you know, decades later now.
Oh, ow.
That's true. Sorry. Decades, plural.
That was rude. Very rude.
So that was 97. Then in 98, we had Mulan.
Okay.
And then in 99, we have Tarzan. Okay, so first of all, let's go back. Mulan is a lot of people's favorite. We talked about her a bit when we were ranking the Disney princesses.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mulan kicks butt.
She literally kicks butt.
Literally,
she kicks a lot of Hun butt.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we talked about this one as well when we were ranking the live action, because this one is a lot of people's favorite. Mulan.
And
she's so strong.
A lot of people, because it was their favorite, didn't like the remake.
Because
it was a little bit different.
Yeah, especially when they took out, you know, like songs or Mushu or any of those kinds of things, because they went a completely different direction.
And there was some stuff that they made different that was not great.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the water bucket scene, I think, I would take the most umbrage with. But
that one really bothered me, because actually, So that they combine, and my favorite scene in the cartoon they took out, which the one where she has to climb up the pole to get the arrow out, mm-hmm. because it talks about how she like uses her intellect mm-hmm. and she thinks about things differently. And that always really spoke to me. I really, really appreciated that. And this instead, she just magically gets stronger.
It's just like Captain America.
I love that scene. That's my favorite scene in that movie, too. Mm-hmm. I teach that scene, actually.
So, okay, yeah.
Okay, so that was 98. And then in 99, we have Tarzan. To me, Tarzan reminded me a little bit of what they were trying to do with Tarzan, what they had done with Hercules, which was kind of take a different approach to it, but they didn't go crazy enough.
Also, bring in Phil Collins to write a bunch of songs.
Yeah, also that, yeah.
They wanted Phil Collins to pull in Elton John with, like, Lion King. Slash, pull in these Oscar-winning mm-hmm. songs and just go full ballad and just... But be catchy as well, which is...
I love the music in Tarzan.
It's a problem with some of these movies, actually, I think. The music isn't good enough.
Okay, so I actually
think...
Okay,
how about we rank these, and then we can talk about them a little more as we're ranking
so
them.
So let's start with number 6. What's your bottom of the barrel here? Am I going to have to hit you over it? Here we go. And this is also really hard for me, because I actually really love all of these movies. I know you don't, but I love all of these movies.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you're going to have to hit me or not, but we just watched this last night. Hunchback of Notre Dame is the bottom of the barrel for this half decade for me. The songs are... I couldn't even tell you one song from that thing.
Really? I can sing them all for you.
The villain is interesting because he's like more evil? Super evil. Super, super evil and like realistically evil, which is...
Terrifying.
Disturbing as heck. But certain parts of the animation are absolutely beautiful, but then like sometimes the characters aren't even that detailed. Like I was bored.
Oh man, you're crazy.
No, I didn't like this movie at all.
Hunchback is a little uneven. I will give you because you have absolute, like, we'll talk about the villains when we rank them, but I'm going to maintain that Frollo is the most disturbing villain that there is in Disney.
Froyo, yeah. I don't know why they named him after frozen yogurt, but he is a jerk. So,
he is. Yeah. When I watched it as a kid, I was like, he's a jerk. Uh-huh. Watching it as an adult is like really upsetting.
It's so messed up. Like you get real.
It's actually terrifying.
You could get real political about it. I mm-hmm. won't. But you could get real political about him.
Oh, like literally watching him, I was like, I feel like I need to go take a shower. Like I'm so grossed out by him.
You look at what's happening in like Texas right now.
Yeah.
Reminds me a lot of that.
Yeah. You're not going to get political though, hey?
No. Just a little bit.
But yeah, he's really upsetting and disturbing. And I hate him.
He's the most despicable villain. And there's a
woman who wants to kill puppies to make fur coats.
Yeah, she's probably second, but
we'll rank them, but yeah, I mean, yeah. So how bad is he? He's ahead of that in terms of evil. I actually really like some, but not all the music. God Help the Outcast is a beautiful, beautiful song. I can't believe some of the stuff is in a Disney movie. I have distinct memories about like friends of mine, especially ones who were maybe a couple years younger, who weren't allowed to watch this.
Oh, it's dark as heck, and it's messed up.
It's dark, but then you have these weird, like, light moments, and I get they're trying to lighten the mood.
Yeah, that, it's...
But it makes it more uneven. Like, I think they should have... Whatever with the gargoyles and stuff like that, but if you're going to have a weird animal sidekick, pick one and go with it, or else have them work together. Goat was cool.
I liked the goat, and mm-hmm. I actually liked the bird that he had at the start, but the bird's, like, just goes away. Like, he flies away, and then that's it. Like, that would have been a good animal sidekick. You didn't need the talking gargoyles for the whole thing.
But you know what? As a kid...
Speaking of the gargoyles, are they in his head?
Yes.
Okay.
Loneliness.
Yeah, like he's just straight up crazy.
Straight up.
Except the goat sees them, so...
That's true.
I was a little confused
But
on
they
that.
They go back to stone every time someone else is around.
Oh, it's like a Toy Story situation.
Like a Toy Story situation. And he's interesting, and he's fine, and I like... That they, well, yes and no about them, you know, Disney-fying it. But, like, in the original book, they don't end, like, Esmeralda is a character in the book. But Quasimodo and Esmeralda don't end up together. He saves her and all of those other things. But, so they kind of stayed true to that, I guess. Although Phoebus is a terrible, terrible person in the book. So maybe.
Right.
You know, So that's interesting. I think the light moments were ill-timed was part of the problem.
Everything was ill-timed about that.
See, I it's not the bottom of the barrel for me. For me, I literally, I love all of these, but I'm, it hurts. Some of my favorite music is from this one, but I'm going to go Tarzan.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm going to go Tarzan. And that's hard because literally, I think my, like, it's in my top three for favorite Disney songs is in Tarzan.
Right. There's Phil Collins kicks some butt. Like, he deserved his Oscar. Full marks for Phil Collins. 100%.
And honestly, like, as I'm saying, for me, Hunchback and Tarzan are on the even field.
Like, I would say the music in Tarzan is the best part of it.
I agree. So, and that is,
I think that's important for a musical to have good music, which Hunchback did not.
Hunchback, you didn't like?
No, I didn't like any. Okay. I didn't like any of it. Any of it.
So for me, Hunchback and Tarzan are on a pretty even keel. Tarzan's music is better. Hunchback, like, it stuck with me, though. Like, I'm, like, terrified of Frollo. And so because of that, I don't know if that's a knock for it or against it. But I feel like I'm ranking it just like, slightly above. Although, Tarzan, okay, so Tarzan, I haven't seen in a long time as well. I might shift them a little bit had I rewatched it here this last week. I do want to say, so You'll Be in My Heart is a song I used to sing to my little sister as a lullaby.
Aww.
It was so cute. It was our song.
You'll be in my heart.
Are you going to sing every song?
No. That's all you get. Just a little bit.
And it was cool that they did, like, the trash in the camp scene and Humans Like Me. So, yeah, the music is really good in it. I mean, don't get me wrong, Clayton is evil, too, but not Frollo-level evil. I think a lot of the movies in the second half, they're like, wait a minute, we had these amazing songs and amazing music in these movies, and then they just rely on it. And they kind of had the music laid out, and they tried to, like, make the story fit.
The music was the star of the show in Tarzan, which is sometimes problematic if you don't have a plot to intersect those songs. Like, if you write the songs first and go,
and then it just felt like they were transitioning from song to song. For me, Hunchback and Tarzan are almost on an even field. I'm going to put Tarzan just slightly lower just because of the fact probably that we just rewatched Hunchback, so it's fresher in my mind.
Okay, so then five is your Hunchback then?
So then five will be my Hunchback, yeah.
Okay, well, guess what my number five is.
Is it Tarzan?
No.
Is it going to be the one I have to hit you over?
Yeah. Ow! It's Pocahontas. I don't even care. You're like Pocahontas.
It's cute how you're wrong and everything.
Well, it's just it doesn't speak to me. I was such a huge Disney movie fan up to 1994, and then Pocahontas came out, and I was like, I guess I'm too old for Disney movies now.
Oh, that makes me sad.
Yeah, it's like my entry into adulthood or something.
But that's the year Toy Story came out, and then you were like, oh,
I'm a Pixar fan. that's what happened. I don't know. I don't like Pocahontas. Sorry.
Have you rewatched it as an adult?
I saw it a few years ago. I don't like it.
I'm so sad. You make me sad.
I just don't like it.
You make me so sad.
I think Pocahontas is a pretty cool, like, Disney princess. She's up there with...
And she's barely considered a princess.
She is. She is, though.
Well, of course she is. She just isn't often... I mean, to be fair, that's probably merchandising reasons, and I get why that's kind of problematic, so... Mm. Which I can talk about in a minute very carefully.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. But she kicks butt like Mulan does.
Yeah!
And so that's fine. I don't know. Other than Colors of the Wind, I couldn't tell you a song from it.
Just Around the River Bend. There's like this, that when they go to war and there's this really poignant song that they're both singing at the same time about how they're going to fight the other person because they're different from us. Oh, you're so ridiculous. You're wrong.
Oh, well, that's just,
so mad.
It's my personal list and I do not like Pocahontas. Okay. Just be happy it wasn't the bottom of the barrel.
I guess.
Hunchback came in and saved that.
And when I was young, like 95, 96, I would say Pocahontas is my favorite, and then Hunchback, and then Belle and Ariel.
That, you just had terrible taste then, because, like, you cannot say that Beauty and the Beast is worse than any of these movies.
No, but I'm just saying, like, which one of my favorites were when I was, like, 10. Oh, you're just, okay. And I think that's the other reason why Hunchback just, like, went a little bit higher than me, as I really liked Esmeralda, and it's important to me to like the female lead. I don't have an issue with Jane.
I really wanted to like Esmeralda, but she was kind of... Other than her escape scene during the festival,
mm-hmm.
she was kind of useless. So I didn't really.
And
Esmeralda.
If it's up between Esmeralda and Jane from Tarzan, for me, Esmeralda's going to eke out Jane's winning with better music. But Esmeralda does get a great song for God Help the Outcasts. Yeah, I think with Esmeralda, they tried to make her, like, fun and spunky, and then they forgot or something. Okay, for me, number four.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I going? Oh, because I did six and five back to back.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You do number four.
Okay, number four.
Because I have to think.
Number four. I'm going to go Tarzan here.
Okay.
The music's good. It's very Phil Collins-y, but...
The music is really good.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. The best part is the scene where he's carrying Jane while he's swinging on the vine.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And he's got both his hands carrying Jane. But he's still swinging on the vine somehow.
He's really good at swinging on the vine.
Have you seen the drawing? There's a meme that goes around, and he's carrying Jane, and they're like, how is he holding on to the vine? Well, he's clenching it with his butt cheeks. And there's an artist rendering of him clenching the vine with his butt cheeks. It's hilarious.
No.
That's my favorite part of that movie.
The butt cheek clench.
Just his animation error. He's got too many hands or something. I don't know.
But I thought it was kind of like under his arm and like with his feet. And
yeah, I mean, but you can see his feet too. Like, I don't know.
Mm. I'm having like a lot of trouble here, Brandon, trying to figure out what my four is. I think, oh man, I absolutely love this movie. It is like one of the most underrated movies ever. And I really, really love it. But I'm going to go a Goofy movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to. It's what it's up against. I really like it. And again, it's better than it has any right to be. It has amazing songs in it.
Yeah, it's fun.
It is super, super, super fun. It is not...
It's
just a really good time.
Who would have thought in like 92 and you wrote this down on a piece of paper and was like, we're going to make a movie about Goofy being a single dad and... It's going to be this heartfelt thing. No, that sounds terrible.
It sounds ridiculous.
It sounds terrible, but it's so good.
And
it's
the really stupid good. Moments in it don't feel out of place because it's Goofy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so they're fun and silly. Like, Bigfoot dancing with Max's Walkman is silly because it's Goofy.
It's both heartfelt and but, like, fits with Goofy. So, like, it's not uneven, which is a problem with a lot of these movies.
It's really true.
A lot of...
I'll do... So... Yeah, there's the ones in the middle for me. I have a number one, and the ones in the middle for me are, like, basically even. So, yeah, I'm putting a Goofy movie there, but it's, like, neutral. It's really good. I love it. I'll watch it every day.
I don't know. I don't love any of these movies.
I love some of these movies.
It's getting tough for me as we get closer to
the
top.
See, for me, it's the opposite, where I like all of them a lot, and I love some of them.
Okay.
Okay, what's next? That was quite the sigh.
I'm having trouble. Number three, hey?
Yeah.
Okay. I am going to go Mulan.
Okay.
I think. There's some good parts of Mulan. It's a really cool story, and I think it's actually pretty well told. I think I'm glad that they cut Mushu out of the live action, because I thought that was kind of cheesy and kind of insensitive.
Mm.
But the other parts of the movie where they're singing that I was sad that they cut out...
Mm-hmm. There's some great music in Mulan.
There is, and it works really well. So it's number three for me.
Yeah, it's number three for me as well. I really like it, and I really like her. I liked it a lot more, I think, as a kid. Mushu does rub me the wrong way a little bit, though. But I loved Mulan. Like, she literally kicks butt, and I love that she used her brain and just bravery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and she's an absolute hero in this. And the music was great. The rest of the telling was a little off for me. I think a lot of that might have been relying on Mushu as just like, look, we have a silly character.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a Disney animated film, so you need a goofy sidekick.
Yeah, but he's supposed to be a sidekick, and he ended up like trying to compete
with
Mulan. Well,
it's because it was Eddie Murphy.
Because it was Eddie Murphy. Yeah. And, I mean, it was the 90s, so of course Eddie Murphy had to be in it, apparently. But I think then it does the same thing that's the problem with, say, Tarzan, where you have one thing and then you just rely on it, so it makes everything else kind of like try and run to catch up. Eddie Murphy as Mushu is, I don't have a problem with, but you're not the genie in Aladdin.
No.
You're not Robin Williams doing the genie. And I think that might have been what he was trying to do. I don't know.
I think you're bang on there, and yeah, it doesn't work. Sorry.
Yeah, so it stood out more to me. Again, love Mulan, no problem with her. For me, a Goofy movie and Mulan are on even very different movies, but on even par for how much I like them. Just very different style. Top two, Brandon.
Okay. Yeah, this number two for me is Goofy Movie. It's way better than it should be.
Yeah.
It's tough because it wasn't like something that was special to me growing up. So maybe if I had watched it when it first came out, I would like it a little more or something. But,
okay. But still, it's number two. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like, of all the movies in this list, it was probably the one that I would most likely rewatch.
Oh, okay.
So
even though it's number two and not number one.
Even though it's number two and not number one.
I've rewatched Goofy Movie several times in the last couple of years. I will probably keep watching it, so I'll watch it with you.
Okay.
Number two for me is going to be Hercules.
Okay.
Had we not just rewatched it, I might have swapped Goofy Movie and Hercules around.
Right.
Maybe Mulan.
I'm not surprised.
That Hercules is number two?
No, I know which two are left on your list. I know which one's number one. So.
Yeah, it's true.
Which is funny because it was number five for me.
Yeah, but you're wrong. That's funny.
We have different opinions.
Yes. One is wrong.
It's an opinion.
Anyway, Hercules, the movie is fun. There's some unevenness to it. I think you're going to talk about that too, because I know it's not, you haven't said it yet. So, but the music is fantastic.
There's a lot of good music. There's a couple duds, but
I like Meg a lot. Yeah, the movie as a whole is a little uneven. Meg is more of a star than Hercules is, quite frankly. And Phil is more of a star than Hercules is, quite frankly. And the big one, Hades is more of a star than probably the rest
of
them.
Yeah, your title character takes a backseat to, like, just about everybody in the movie.
But that's okay. He's, like, a vehicle for
them.
Yeah,
it's fine.
It's fine. Mm-hmm. It was fun. I liked it. I'm kind of surprised I'm ranking it this high, actually. I don't know why, but, like, I'm kind of surprised I am.
I am a little bit surprised that it's above most of these movies, actually.
I think just
you?
The music is stuck in my head
it's
right
because
now.
You
and
just
I really,
it's
and I, it's,
you
it's
just
recency bias,
it.
I think.
A little bit of recency bias.
I know which one is my number one, but yeah, like, had we not just rewatched it, I might have shuffled around. For me, there's number one, and all of the rest are almost tied.
Right.
Are basically tied. Tarzan, I love as much as I love Hercules, honestly. And Tarzan, I put at the bottom, which, yeah. So I love them all, except I have a number one.
See,
I'm
the opposite way. As, like, I was, like, trying to, they're all tied for the bottom, except for Goofy Movie. It just, like, ranks really high for me because it was so unexpected.
Okay.
But I'm picking Hercules as my number one.
Okay.
Because it's so postmodern,
mm-hmm.
and some of the references are great.
I know you appreciate when they try and do something weird.
They tried really hard. It is quite uneven.
Mm-hmm.
The plot pacing is a little off. They have a really big montage that, I mean, it has,
but
it's a great song. It's a great song. Don't get me wrong. Zero to Hero is a great song,
yeah.
But, like, they kind of, like, gloss over the best part of the Hercules story.
But he's a major hunk. And who'd have thunk?
Like, I mean, like, if you read actual Greek mythology, like,
mm-hmm.
his quests are, like, his major story, and they literally do that in a 2-minute song. So, the rest of the story doesn't really work for me.
Okay. What did you think of Hades?
Hades was cool.
Yeah.
He did chew on the scenery a lot,
mm-hmm.
but that's okay.
I was telling you about, so James Wood voices Hades.
Mm-hmm.
And he's notorious for being an interesting fellow to work with.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
But he's quoted as saying Hades was one of his favorite characters he's ever done. In fact, Hercules was going well over budget when they were making it. I was telling you this while we were watching. But when he found that out and they were like, might have to stop production, he offered to have them forego his salary to put it towards production. Didn't end up having to do that, but he just really wanted to have it done, and he really wanted to keep playing Hades. So much so that he does, every time that Hades makes an appearance in any, like they did the House of Mouse specials and all those other things, he actually comes and reprises his role as Hades. When normally they just get like...
Yeah, whoever.
Yeah, like but he's like, nah, I want to be Hades.
I mean, you could tell he was having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of Glenn Close in that.
It's true. In 101 Dalmatians. 101, just yeah. Animated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. And that helped the movie a lot.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Okay. Your number one was Hercules. Great music in that too.
Most of it.
Yeah. What didn't you like?
I don't know. There was a couple duds. Oh, Hercules, I like them all. Hercules song. I don't know.
Go with the distance.
Yeah, I was a little. I don't know. I don't know. They're mostly good.
Okay.
Mostly good.
And I love Meg's song.
A solid B minus.
Okay. And number one for me, I love Pocahontas.
I know you do.
I almost.
I do not.
I know, but you're wrong.
I think it's a quality movie. It's just nothing about it is in my wheelhouse, so I don't like it. And it also bummed me out because it was the first Disney movie that I didn't like. As a kid, so
you
like,
have more animosity towards it because of that memory than actually the movie probably deserves.
Yeah, no, probably.
Whereas I saw it,
I think it's a quality film. Mm-hmm. The animation is gorgeous.
The animation is fantastic.
And the story's interesting.
The story's interesting. I almost feel bad that I like it so much.
Right.
Because of course, the historical inaccuracies and all of that kind of stuff.
Tend to, I don't know.
Honestly, you know what they needed to do? Not name her Pocahontas. They could have just, because they changed so much of the story, like, just come up with a different name.
Yeah.
But by saying it was her, then it glosses over some of the terrible stuff that happened to her.
Yeah.
And like, oh, it's okay. Yeah. Which is like, if you just told a different story. But anyway, there are some beautiful moments in this. I'm surprised I like it so much, because I'm like, hopeless romantic, give me a happy ending. I want the big dancing ballroom scene and everything like that. And that doesn't exist in this movie.
No. Well, it didn't happen in any of these movies.
No, it's true. In fact, this was the first one I watched that really did not have a happy ending, like love story type of story here. She has the option to go with him or keep him, but she thinks it's best for her people and for him to stay. And like, I watch this movie now and I cry at the ending. I mean, like, I cry at everything.
Yeah,
but
that's not
but
so
like,
much.
Absolutely bawled during that scene. She, like, gives up what she thinks would make her happy to, like, help other people. And I'm not necessarily saying that's good or bad, but there's this nobility to her story that I really appreciated. And I really liked these female characters growing up that, when I was this age, that weren't very passive.
Yeah.
And she is the hero of the story as well.
I mean, that's good. I don't have a problem with that.
And the music is fantastic.
But I think Disney in this latter half of the decade tried too hard to get away from what had made them successful.
Okay,
with the princess movies
and
stuff like
that.
But here's the thing.
We say the princess movies, but we've been going through the decades, and what people think of as the Disney princess movies, there were three of them, and they stopped in the 60s.
Yeah, well...
In the 70s. 60s, 70s.
Little Mermaid and
Beauty and the Beast
are big princess movies.
But there's...
So half of the best...
Mm-hmm. Came in the Renaissance.
Were princess movies. Like Lion King and Aladdin also were really good. Not really princess movies,
no.
Even though Jasmine is in Aladdin, but...
Yes, but they're
not really a princess movie,
movies.
No.
Yeah. But I mean, like, they would have been making these movies while they were releasing Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, I don't know. They were trying a little too hard to get away from...
I think they were trying too hard to do stories from other cultures, but they weren't doing it in a very sensitive way.
No. Yeah, it was, like, early...
Mm-hmm. But I like that... I like that they were trying to do different things, whether or not they're, like... We'd be condemning them if they tried to just stick to the same old
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
There were some growing pains, maybe, is what you're saying, as they were trying to differentiate a little bit.
Certainly, and then those growing pains continue as we move into the 2000s,
which we definitely will talk about. But
teaser,
that's
known as a teaser.
Oh, good job. Yeah. But like we say that throughout everything when we were talking about Robin Hood and we were talking about Jungle Book and we were talking about all of those things. like, it's the amalgamation of all of it that makes it successful. Like, I don't know, Snow White was a resounding success, but they had more not princess movies than they had princess movies.
Yeah. I just didn't like the last half of the 90s.
I will give you Lion King, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast. Like, those ones are the stars. I will 100% give of the 90s.
The trouble was, for me, probably, is that I aged out of Disney for those 5 to 6 years. You're that age where it's not cool to be into Disney anymore because you're older now. You're going to be a teenager, and don't roll your eyes at me. I'm explaining
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
But you're not old enough where you can, like, do old kid stuff in a cool way anymore.
Right.
Like,
it was just awkward.
Yeah.
And so you said Pocahontas was the one that, like,
yeah,
was the
Pocahontas
turning point.
Was the line for me.
What is interesting, because she's probably the first one that was, like, female starring, not, like, she leads that more than John Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
John
and then,
Smith's
of course, you had Mulan
character.
Later. But I wonder if you would have felt that same way had, like, you know, because Pocahontas is clearly geared for girls. Right? So if you had something that was more like a buddy film or more had come out at that time, I wonder, and Pocahontas came out later when you could look back at it more, I wonder if you'd still have the animosity towards it.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just the line for me, so. Don't care for Pocahontas, sorry.
I love it. It used to be my favorite. I think it's second favorite now. Beauty and the Beast.
Well, I mean, that's it's a better choice, so, you know, whatever.
I love them all, and I want to watch them all again.
Yeah, it's just, like, you compare the first half of the 90s to the last half, it's just a weaker 5 years. You cannot argue with that.
Well, okay. Like I said, I will give you that the stars of the 90s were Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and Lion King, which happened to come out in the first 5 years. Let's also remember Rescuers Down Under came out in the first 5 years, too. And I will put a Goofy movie up against Rescuers Down Under every day.
Oh, I don't care about Rescuers Down Under.
But I'm saying, like, just because you happen to have those three movies in the first half.
Yeah.
Right.
This is like the three best Disney movies ever. I don't know, just saying.
I don't know about that. But I don't know. Like, I'd say, like, there are all of these movies, which you say are worse than the first half, up against the worst movie from the first half, all of these movies win.
Not all of them, but Rescuers Down Under is pretty bad.
All of these movies.
I would rather watch Rescuers Down Under than Hunchback again.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't really like Rescuers Down Under either.
Okay. So, I think we've talked about this enough.
Okay.
I've got some trivia for you.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I like doing trivia with the decades episodes.
Yeah.
So, trivia time. Number one, Pocahontas was released June 23rd, 1995. That was also the 400th anniversary of something.
400th anniversary?
Mm-hmm.
1595?
Mm-hmm.
What the heck happened in I don't know.
Okay.
Signing of the Magna Carta.
Okay. Number two, since the movie Hercules is about Greek myths, what should Hercules actually have been named?
Well, we talked about this.
Yes, yes.
Heracles.
Heracles.
Because
exactly.
That's the Greek version.
Yeah.
Hercules is the Roman version.
Yes, exactly.
Which is weird because we all, like, the Roman and the Greek gods are all the same, except they have different names.
Yeah.
But we always talk about the Greek versions.
Yeah.
In almost every single case.
It's true.
But Hercules is the popular version.
Weird.
Yeah,
just
it is very strange.
I don't know. But not named, that I'm saying you're right or anything, but you know.
named after his mother, but not mother, even though it was his mother in the movie.
That's true.
He's like Zeus. He was an illegitimate child of Zeus.
Mm-hmm. We were reading a myth in my English class, and we were making the joke about, like, how much shorter Greek and Roman mythology would be if Zeus could just keep it in his toga. And they really like that phrase.
Yeah, well, yeah, he was a busy beaver.
Okay, number three. Tarzan is modeled after a celebrity, particularly when he is sliding down the log. It's very famous, was used in all the previews and everything like that. Who was he modeled after?
Sliding down the log?
Yeah, the way he was, like, moving through the forest and everything.
He
was modeled after a 90s celebrity.
I don't know, Tony Hawk? Tony Hawk.
Okay, so you've got...
When I'm playing a video game and I do, like, some crazy spin move or something, I always go, Tony Hawk!
So you're just like, Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
I half expect you to be like, Dick Van Dyke!
That's the 400th anniversary. Dick Van Dyke.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. So contact us on our social media or through our trivia to chat, suggest trivia, make fun of Brandon, whatever, or just say hi.
Tony Hawk.
So that's our show. Thank you to El Mule, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website at disneyaid.wixsite.com/podcast, where you can also find a link to our social media accounts. If you're more into emailing than DMing, you can also message us there. You can find us on Instagram at disneya.podcast, Facebook at disneya, and Twitter at disneyapodcast. And you can find DisneyA episodes on all of your favorite podcast streaming platforms and on our YouTube channel, Adventures A. If you've rated or reviewed our podcast, thanks. That's awesome.
Yay!
Like giving Disney A an A. Thank you.
A plus.
Thanks. That's right.
Yeah.
If you haven't yet, we'd love it if you did. It helps others find us and is just awesome. So if you're awesome, you should review us. Especially on Apple Podcasts. If you know someone who might like listening to us, please be sure to recommend Disney A as well. You can also listen to Disney A episodes on Magic of the Mouse Radio, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 3:30 p.m. Eastern. Magic of the Mouse Radio can be found on almost all the radio station apps, and it's super fun.
Yeah, Magic of the Mouse Radio is great.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to try something a little different.
Yeah, I'm kind of scared.
we're going to call this Disney Blind Date.
Okay.
And I'm going to pick out something for you to watch on Disney Plus.
Yep.
Sight unseen.
Yep.
Something random.
Hence
from
the blind date part.
from the annals of Disney history.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that you're not like showing me Cinderella here or
no,
anything.
No. It's going to be something weird from like the 60s or something.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to watch it.
Okay.
And then you're going to try and explain it to me and tell me about it.
Okay. Got it. I'm so scared of what you're going to pick.
Yeah, I don't know.
I should be.
I'm gonna have fun picking something out for you. But
and this is gonna be like a recurring thing we're gonna do.
Yeah,
recurring occasionally.
Just some nice in between stuff because we're coming to the end of our decades recurring thing. So let's go on some blind dates.
I like it
with Disney films.
I'm worried and excited.
There's a lot of weird old Disney stuff.
Yeah,
it's gonna be fun.
Okay. Well, looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, thanks for listening. I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
And until that next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney, eh?
I don't want to close my eyes. Okay, that's it. That's all
you're going to do? That's all you're going to do?